All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? On a Thursday, day before the big day that leads us into the weekend that we all love, it's Barry Laminack, it's Nick Sciarra, it's Joel Blank, the usual suspects. We are here for you. We are here till 4, and there's nothing to talk about today, so we think we'll just move on and talk about weather, lifestyle.
I want to know why you're cupping the microphone.
Because I've watched you do it several times now when we're in studio in the last couple of weeks, and so I thought, well, maybe it's the appropriate way to start the show. I was, maybe the microphone will be good to me.
No, I was just locking it in, but you cup
it
like...
Whoa, locking it in, huh?
You cup it like you're going to do something romantic to it.
No.
No?
I mean,
are you saying that's what I do?
Kind of.
I didn't realize I was fondling it like
kinda,
that.
Kind of, yeah. There's a couple days that I went... I just gave you the side eye.
You don't hold them like a wrapper because then you do look like you're trying to do something sexual.
Well, that right there looks like you've got a football in your hand. Right? Okay, then now you're throwing it like Bradshaw, who liked to throw it on the...
I don't know. No, it's not really a football.
But, okay.
Yeah, this is going to be bad.
Yeah, so we got plenty to talk about.
Could derail.
The Utah Jazz did in the Rockets last night.
Oy.
Or boy-oy, because now the Texans are short two defensive backs as Q Demps and A.J. Boye are gone. Mm-hmm. So we can talk about that as well. Plenty to get to. Where do you want to start?
I don't know. I kind of had something I wanted to rant about.
Go.
And I...
We always do that in the first segment.
Yeah.
Go.
Well, I had thought about it last night and today, and then right before we came on there... Totally forgot what the hell it was.
So wait, it's gone now?
Yeah.
Well, maybe mid-segment it'll come back.
I remember thinking, oh boy, do I have something to talk about first segment tomorrow. And I
was it road rage? Was it about food?
Was it like sports or not sports? Was something you tweeted? Oh, someone that was tweeting to you?
I don't remember, guys. Like, I don't remember.
You really want to know.
Yeah. I know. I do, too.
Nick and I feel like we're on another game show. Forget male golf
know.
Or female golf or Chinese food. We're playing Family Feud.
Yeah,
we're trying to guess.
I would love to know, too, what the hell it is. Like, I would love to. I bet it was good. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe that's why I forgot it, because subconsciously I knew it was going to suck as a bit. Although I do want to give a shout out to one of my biggest fans who said that he doesn't like anything I write or say, or he doesn't think anything I write or say is funny. So shout out to you, my friend.
Was it Granado?
No. it was some guy, because I did my first update for Houston Sports and Stuff, Fred Fowler's website.
Yeah.
And he replied back. He's like, I don't think anything you write or say is funny, but I do think you're better than the morning guys. And I was like, well, I don't know how to take that, sir, but, you know, thanks, question mark? I don't know. What the hell do you say to that?
Who would be the morning guys, too?
Big fan of mine, obviously. That was the other thing. Yeah, it had to have been Mike and Mike. No way he was talking about Raheel and John and Sean. Can't be. So it was definitely Mike and Mike. He was dissing, of course. So, yeah, I really wish I knew what I was getting angry about, but I don't. And I deeply apologize about that. So we can just talk sports. Forget it. Okay. It looks like somebody wants to talk about the show name.
Early.
What is that?
Yeah, what's that?
Is
right
Max
off the
there?
Top, we haven't even really got into much.
Yeah,
Max...
yeah. Hey, how are you guys?
Good, Max. How are you?
Doing great. Hey, so y'all opened the show up with that little clip of the lineup, and I think I can get away with saying this on air,
uh-oh.
But the truth of... No, not a bad word. The truth about it is that's supposed to be an insanely serious scene, and the Baldwin brother that's in that movie couldn't stop passing gas or whatever you want to call it. The entire time, like ridiculously, for like 20 and 30 minutes straight, to the point that none of the characters could keep their cool. The director threw his stuff at him and was screaming, losing his mind, and that made him laugh even harder. And the director just lost it and walked off set. And the story goes, it was such a good take that they couldn't stop laughing. It was so natural that he had to keep it in. And that it really just... just ruined the whole beginning of the of shooting that film.
So, but, Max, you basically have just you just basically defined our show prep.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. Like it's such a serious movie, but the undertone of y'all calling it that and with the lineup and everything, I was like, that's a great little gag these guys should know about.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate that. Nick starts it. He normally has a squeaker right when we sit down, and then from there it's almost like Blazing Saddles. That's how we get down to business.
Yeah, I was going to say, our show prep is just Joel farting for like 30 minutes. And
I said Nick, and it immediately goes to Joel.
Oh, well,
that's cool.
I thought we were going to use you. Are we doing...
Well, that's what you normally do.
All right. Well, then Nick farts a lot.
No, Nick starts it with a squeaker, and then when we go
What's
around
a squeaker?
The horn... Just a... After your bison chili
day,
last night when you
Thanks,
did the...
Mac. Thanks,
no
Max. Yeah.
That was your bison chili.
No, I'll be happy to report. You can safely go to Biggio's and get the bison chili, and it won't give you gas. I did not have gas last night. That's a...
You breathe it easier now, Nick?
It's a positive food review.
I will say I'm very jealous that you guys got to go to Biggio's and I did.
And I would like to point out, they put sour cream in the chili.
I'm not a big sour cream guy.
Okay.
But I'll have it like in my mashed potatoes.
Okay.
Oh, there's a little bit of a flavor.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Now, why were you disappointed that we went...
I really
wanted
to try that menu.
It wasn't about Craig. It was
Joel
more
got
about
a salad to go.
And Craig, obviously, I would love to see Craig Biggio. But I'm
what
just
do you mean
saying,
you don't know why?
Like you could have like you wanted something healthy. You should have gotten the chili. It was really good.
I got what I wanted to get.
What did you get?
I didn't. I got a chicken salad and took it home.
That sounds about Joel Blankish.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
You're very dedicated to eating healthy. I'm impressed by that.
I need to be better. Not only more so in the. This week's a good week, but I needed definitely to get back on the workout part of it just because it's just been the last 6 weeks for us have been hellacious. I got both of them. My wife is homesick.
Oh, no.
The baby is still fighting it, but I sent her to school today because the wife otherwise wasn't going to go see the doctor. And I'm like, no, you need to. And I don't know how I've survived it because I'm thinking one of these days I'm going to come in to try and do the show with you guys and again go back to the.
Oh, gosh. Don't.
Yeah, I swallowed gravel. But, yeah, we had poltergeist again this morning, too. So the baby now, officially, the more that I can tell, rice cereal is off the menu.
Ugh.
Speaking of menus.
You think she's got, like, intestinal issues?
So I have reflux. So they've already kind of identified that the baby also has signs that she has reflux. But when you're congested and you're fighting something, and then you try, like, a rice cereal, it's kind of, it's like oatmeal, but it's more like a thicker base to it. It just clogs everything up. And Lisa's getting good about it because now she's like, oh, no, I think it's coming. And I'm like, nah, it's not. And all of a sudden, she was dead on. Here comes poltergeist, and I'm trying to slow down a freaking fire hose with a washcloth so that it doesn't get all over the fridge, all over the every appliance in the kitchen. But it's like, blah, when it comes out. And I told Nick, one day I'm just going to save some of it in a Ziploc and leave an open Ziploc somewhere in the production studio when we start the show. And then when he goes to find it, I'm pretty sure that it's like acid. It'll have already eaten through the Ziploc and start consuming the production board.
That's a horrible thing to think of.
Oh, my God. It's a horrible smell.
Yeah, that's what
you.
I mean. Like, oh.
My goodness.
I wonder if what's worse, baby vomit or cat diarrhea.
I'm going to go with baby vomit because
my friend. I think we could have a stink off. I really do.
Really?
Yeah.
I just think, isn't there more acid in the stomach of like a human being?
I think
stomach acid that comes with it is what really makes anything dairy just go woof.
Because it's not supposed to come out of her body, obviously. It's supposed to stay in her stomach. But
it's supposed to come out of her body down on the other end.
Right. So like cat diarrhea, you know what I mean? It's supposed to come out it came out the right end for the cat is what I'm saying.
Yeah. But first of all, cat crap by itself stinks bad. And then if you add on top of that that they're sick, it's the worst. Like it's literally why I wouldn't have kids because I couldn't imagine going through this.
So you're not having kids and you're blaming cats for that?
Part of it, yeah.
Okay.
Part of it, for sure. And the fact that kids will kill you when they get older.
Okay.
That's a thing. Did you see that? That one kid that killed his parents and chopped the mom's head off and walked outside with it?
I'm sorry?
Yeah. Yeah. Here in Houston.
No.
Yeah, because they took his cell phone away. Yeah, that's what you get to look forward to. College and murder.
When did this happen?
You get to pay for college or be murdered.
When did this happen?
Like last week. Or maybe it was this week. Maybe it was earlier in the week.
He chopped his parents' heads off?
Walked outside with the mom's head in his hand. Like he just slayed Medusa.
Wasn't even Halloween?
Clash of the Titans. No. Dude,
That's really disturbing.
Very sad.
Yeah, but it really... It tends to happen like at the height, like high schoolers and middle schoolers are the ones that tend, because I've seen a lot of these stories. AKA, this is really not uncommon.
AKA kids.
Yeah.
That's why you don't have them.
I remember
they murder you.
The big thing now with kids too is, I mean, it used to be, you know, there's certain no-nos you don't do to upset a kid. But good Lord, if you do anything with their phones these days,
they will murder you.
Yeah, you take your iPad.
Game on.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not going to kid you. I was telling Taylor's teacher this morning. We actually have one of Lisa's old iPhones is one of Taylor's toys because of the fact that whenever she grabs our phone, she doesn't just grab it. She starts immediately swiping the screen. She knows how to get rid of the block on the screen, and she's already going. She's a year and a half, guys.
Yeah.
And she's already swiping. I mean, I don't need her to get to the point where she's swiping left or swiping right because then I'd really go out of my mind.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard to keep that out of their hands. I mean, that's just what they want to do.
They see it on the table. It lights up. That's crazy.
I thought it was a Houston. Somebody saying it was North Carolina, but they are confirming on the text lines that it did happen, and it happened this week.
But it wasn't here, or it was?
Well, somebody said it was North Carolina. I thought it was here. Someone asked, why does Joel Blank look like a youth minister to me? I don't know what that is. I guess your picture on the website?
Because on Sundays, I like to make sure that you people dig deep within to realize that what we're really trying to do here is realize that
you
find the power from within.
We got to put that in your good.
Yes.
In your good voices, not your bad ones. That's not one of your suckier ones.
If you could see when I showed the teeth, too, it's very important.
Did y'all give Barry his man card back from yesterday? Let me tell you. Let me tell you right now. One,
that was self-inflicted.
I don't care. Yeah, I paid homage to the ladies out there on International Women's Day. I don't care. No regrets. I don't care. But I already have done my list for the next Way Back Wednesday. Redemption is in sight, and I will have my day next week. I will redeem myself. And
if you got to come out of 2 weeks in a row at fifth,
I'm bringing the funk.
You have to.
I'm bringing it next week. I'm telling you. You guys are in trouble.
Okay. Wow. All right, well, we got to get to a break. Then Quentin, one of our regulars, is waiting to get in here, and he has kid talk. So we'll see what that has to Barry. Barry's fired up for that.
That could go one of several ways.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And one of those worries me.
All right, if you want to join in on the rest of the crew that likes to chime in, 713-780-ESPN, which you can do to text and or call the show. Barry mans the text messages. Nick mans the phone lines. We all man our Twitters. At Barry is funny, at the producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We're here till 4 o'clock, and we always try to aim to please with a lot of fun and games. So please join us, ESPN 97.5.
Loaded, ready, rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
DJ Nicky D playing a little B.I.G. Why? Well, 20th anniversary, 20 years flies of the death of the genius that was the notorious B.I.G.
By the way, I just want to point out this is on my Way Back Wednesday. He knew that. That's where he got the idea
from. You didn't send me that.
You're
list.
A damn lie. You're a damn lie.
Oh, yeah, you did. You did send it to me.
It was also on mine, so I took it off.
Yeah. But well, just so we know.
You can use it for Way Back Wednesday.
This is Daddy's opener for Way Back Wednesday.
All right.
Somebody texted in and said, Barry, you are either seriously secure with your sexuality or seriously in denial of your sexuality.
Why now?
I don't know. I guess because all the jokes I make. Super secure.
Anybody check your bio recently?
Listen, I've always been an open book since I've been on the radio.
I mean, check your bio. Comedian might give it away.
Yeah, you think? Just a tad bit of a hint. You think some of this might be jokes? It could be. It might be.
But then again, it could be totally serious, and you just haven't completely opened the closet door yet.
I just haven't accepted it yet. Somebody said, Barry, when do you perform next in Houston? I got a couple of shows coming up. I'll try to update the calendar on my website. You can go to barrysfunny.com. That'd be easier than me trying to remember all the stuff I have going. Yeah.
Yeah, let's get to the caller first. We can always get back to B.I.G. Quentin, friend of the show. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good show.
What's up, Quentin? How's it going, man?
Hey, nothing. The reason Barry forgot what he was going to tell y'all, that usually means he was about to lie about something.
Oh, is that the case?
Is that right? Well, guess what? I found out. I remembered what it was for him.
Yeah, he reminded me. So it's coming. You just wait.
Okay.
I'm bringing the rapture.
But, about this kid that ended up beheading his mother or however it went.
Yeah.
You know, that usually happens when these parents don't instill that healthy fear in them. Because when you were coming up, they said, "Hey, I'm gonna call your dad right away." Holy crap!
You don't want to call my dad.
Was that?
Well, you don't want that. I mean, we've talked about this on the show before. Dad could either bring the belt, or like I said, my parents owned a restaurant before they got out of the business. And my mom had the regular wooden spoon, and on our wall in our kitchen, we had a spoon and a fork the size of like Andre the Giant might use. And if you did something bad, and she threatened to put that to your hide, it'll change your mind in a hurry.
Right. Hey, the only thing I wanted to know is what race was this family that this happened to?
Black. I'll hang up and listen. They were black.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh man! See, I knew
where you were headed with that theory.
Yeah, that's kind of unheard of because usually,
just like Barry,
African American families they're pretty strict on discipline and they don't play that.
Yeah, well,
so I'm kind of baffled by that, but I hang up and listen.
All right, Quentin, appreciate the
call,
man.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
By the way, my dad, when you know you talk about being scared, I was always scared of my dad whooping my ass.
Yeah,
but he took it a step further. And sent a note to school when I was in elementary school. And this was back when you could still get SWATs. Like, okay. they don't do that anymore.
Right.
That's how old I am. But he sent a note to school that, you know, he approved SWATs for me. Like, if I ever needed an ass whooping at school, that anyone could feel free to provide said ass whooping at any given moment at the school. So it was like he was ruling from afar. So I always had to act right.
Mine was always that it was the intimidation factor, the threat that my dad was there.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, he never really wanted to do it. So my mom would just step up and make
your mom was
either take care of business or, oh yeah. Remember when, do you guys ever remember belly bumping?
What?
Like there was a thing going on. You like Slap Fest. Before Slap Fest, there was belly bumping where two guys would like almost, they would just go at it where you're trying to knock the guy out of the ring with just your belly.
What are you watching?
No, there was that was a big thing. So like I'm telling you,
is this a category on Pornhub?
Maybe it was in the Midwest, right? Maybe it was in the Midwest. But like two guys who either had really strong abs or in most cases just had a beer barrel gut, right? And they would just run as fast as they can, and then just start having at it where you can't use your hands or your legs. You got to belly bump someone out of the ring.
I swear this sounds like you're describing something else.
But we saw it. So as kids, we saw it. We're like, what the heck is that? And then we started feeling confident, like, Mom, you do anything to me, I could belly bump you right. And she goes, oh, really? Uh-oh. My mom belly bumped my ass right out of the house. She took me from the kitchen through the back door and off the back step and on my rear end in about 20 seconds. Just said, you want to prove it? Try it. And just boom, 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 and I was done.
Wow.
I mean, I was like 9, but she proved her point in a hurry. My mom was a badass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It reminds me of, what is it that they wear when it's like that big sumo wrestling.
The belt thing?
Suit that you wear, and then you try to wrestle somebody. That's what I thought of when you said belly bumping, honestly.
Yeah, well, you know those sumo suits that they used to wear at the Rockets games?
Yes, like that.
Yeah. But the thing is that the artist formerly known as Clutch thought that they were protected all over the place. So he thought that he had a license to just go ahead and create some form of an assault on the people that were wearing them.
Oh, no.
Till he realized a couple times that those people
took some shots that weren't going to just be able to be wiped off like really? A little bit of dirt. Yeah.
Yo, Adrian said, I went to Catholic school, so I got hit by nuns with yardsticks.
Yeah.
And my art box. Nick, you aren't old enough, or you're not old enough to have been subjected to SWATs
school. I got hit by a wooden paddle.
Okay, I was going to ask, did they have the wooden paddle?
Yeah.
And it was usually like the shop teacher or the assistant principal, the dude assistant principal. Somebody was in charge of SWATs for the school, and they had a wooden paddle.
And I think I was just old enough just to catch the tail end of that, because like I think a few years after that, they stopped doing
that.
Yeah,
you do that now, somebody's getting sued.
I want to say did they ever ask you for permission to discipline? Like they would send a note to
the
parents.
Yeah, my dad sent one to school. If he ever needs an ass whooping, you don't even need to ask. You have my permission. That was like early on.
Wow.
Yeah.
My parents
was ahead of that, and I wasn't even a bad kid. But he was just like, y'all are gonna get an ass whooping if you need one. So,
We never had that. But my parents were the type that were like, no one else is laying a hand on my kid. But rest assured, if I need to, I'll take care of it. But my parents would be the ones that would come in going, who touched my kid?
Really?
They would, well, that they would was want my to be
mom.
The
one. It takes a village to raise a child, Joel.
Yeah, well. Enough said there, too.
All right.
Yeah.
Somebody said, took my 11-year-old daughter's cell phone away last night for not cleaning her room, and she cried herself to sleep like her world had ended. Well, rest in peace to you, sir. I hope you don't wake up beheaded tomorrow.
Yeah, really?
That's scary, man. I'm only 20, but when I went to school in a small town, they still allowed SWATs, and my principal was a big man. That's usually who it was. It was like the big coach or the shop teacher missing like that one digit, but he could still hold the paddle. And, dude, that was always – you never got some like weirdo-looking, you know, skinny, nerdy teacher that gave SWATs that could barely lift the paddle. It was always that big, big, burly dude. That was – ugh. SWATs were the worst. Okay, real quick. I know we're gonna have to go to break here pretty soon, but I wanted to talk about what I'm mad about.
Okay.
Do you mind?
No. So I was more bothered by it than you.
I'm kind of pissed off because I went to pay my wife's first car payment online, and it's with Nissan. And I was like, you know what? Cool. I'll just hop online and get it scheduled. And they charge a $5 fee, a convenience fee. And I'm using air quotes, a convenience fee to pay my bill, which this is 2017. This is not new technology. This is not something that's difficult to do like it was 10 years ago. Remember when you first started paying things online, everyone charged you because no one knew what the hell they were doing.
Processing
they had to figure
fee.
It out. Yeah, a processing fee or a convenience fee or technology fee.
Whatever, yeah.
Like, dude, this is 2017. People pay bills on their phone. They pay bills. You know, they tap the phone to pay with stuff. Like, why is Nissan's backwards ass charging $5 to pay my car note? I was like, well, this is ridiculous. So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to send them like a cashier's check, or I'm going to make this so difficult on them. I'm thinking about sending them like rolls of quarters in a big bag or something. I don't know yet. But it just pissed me off. It's like, this is we're living in a technology age now. You should not be charging people to pay their bills.
Here's one thing okay with.
I am going to send them a check at worst. I'm going to send them a check. And now they got to haul their ass to the bank and go take care of it. Jerks.
Like if you really want to pay, you want consumers to pay online and save money. Say, okay, look, go paperless and we'll give you a discount. That's what I see companies do now.
Dude, I had a credit union when I had my Avalanche. And yeah, if you were like paperless or if you were like auto pay, they gave you a discount on your rate.
Give the Texas Motor Vehicle Department a little credit too, because when you pay for your Easy Tag and things and or the renewal of your the sticker in the windshield, your registration.
Yeah, your inspection.
Yeah,
and your registration.
Right. Yeah, you pay less if you pay online.
Right.
So that's the way to do it.
Yeah, it's incentive. But now I'm sending your stupid ass a check for the next.
See,
six
but
years.
I told him if he didn't use profanity within the tweet,
of course I used profanity.
Just sending it to Nissan with that kind of vigor and venom, I think that they would have probably tried to do something for him. But once he went over he didn't just look at the line and tow it. He kicked through it. And I'm like, yep, there goes that idea. That ain't happening now.
I couldn't remember if I dropped an a-hole or the F-bomb or a combination of the two. I don't remember. But, you know, I don't care. Like, they're not going to not charge me the $5. They're not changing the way they do business because one idiot in Houston is mad. But it made me feel better just to curse them out online. And then, breaking news, Nick.
Uh-oh. Breaking news. Uh-oh. Oh, there's been a signing in Houston. No, it's not with the Texans. Hey, it's with the Rockets. Hey! We're going to have it next for you, ESPN 97.5.
I'm excited.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Look here. There's a new sheriff in town. His name's Chris Stapleton. Tonight, Chris Stapleton's going to be on the main stage at Rodeo Houston. So, Nick, it's time. Let's Rodeo Houston. What do you think? Barry, get your boots on.
Let's do it.
Put your hat on. Today's special rodeo artist, Chris Stapleton. You're listening to him now. $18 gets you in to see the best music, rodeo action, shopping, dining, and a carnival of fun for you and your whole family. Buy your tickets right now. RodeoHouston.com. Chris Stapleton or the other rodeo shows coming, including this at the end of this week, I believe. Is it tomorrow night? Alicia Keys. So, big lineup from the rodeo. Chris Stapleton tonight, RodeoHouston.com. We mentioned at the top of the show that Quentin Demps and A.J. Bouye are gone. Bouye to the Jaguars and Q Demps to the Bears. We're going to get to all the free agency in just a little bit. As Barry wipes the tears away and before the caller, J.J., we're going to get to you too, by the way, if you can either hang out or call back. But right now we've got a caller on the line that's got his balls in the washer and he's getting ready to tee him up. So before he does that, he definitely wants to get in here and talk with his Houston fan base. Kevin McHale joining us. We gave you a lot of vacation time in the last couple of weeks, Coach, so we need to get you in.
Appreciate it, guys. I'm here. What's up?
You tell me. Rockets lose to the Jazz last night. They've lost two in a row. Tough one to the Spurs. We, including you, have talked about don't sleep on the Utah Jazz, but people in Houston better be believers now because in the rearview mirror, those objects are a lot closer than they appear, and they're only three games out of the three spot.
Yeah, no, I tell you what, Utah's been playing really well. I thought they were going to have a big breakout year last year. I was kind of surprised that they didn't. But they had injuries, had some stuff, but they've had the year, this year is the year I thought they were going to start having last year. So they have all the talent. I mean, you know, they got shot blocking, they got favors who will bang you, they got guys that can beat you off the dribble, they got guys that can make shots. But most importantly, I just think they compete every single night. They're one of the teams that, honestly, when we coached against that team, even though I thought we were better, when I was in Houston with the guys, it always concerned me because they had, those guys were going to compete. Quinn Snyder's got them playing hard on a nightly basis, and I like watching them play.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at it last night. And, you know, a lot of people here, too, Coach, are talking about the fact that, you know, this whole MVP race, and I think the Rockets need to be more focused on just trying to secure the three spot, getting the best position they possibly can, and trying to do the right, get the right matchups to try to do some damage, especially with Golden State being injured. But this MVP conversation won't go away. What Kawhi Leonard did the other night for the Spurs against the Rockets started to put him on the map nationally to get more attention. Where are you on the MVP voting and who sits where?
Well, you know, I still think that James and Harden, and I'm putting Kawhi in that, and just out of just because of guys like Isaiah Thomas. I mean, he's having a heck of a year. Now, he's not going to get it, but you just mention his name in there because he's having that good of a year, you know. And so it's nice for guys like him to get some recognition. But I thought that up until now, really, I thought James was really the guy that I would give it to. I still might be leaning towards James right now, but as it becomes more evident that Westbrook's going to average a triple double, which I really think he's going to do it, which is amazing. And then you got Kawhi Leonard and just the two way game that he plays all the time, you know, against the Rockets, that big shot that he hits, the three, and then the block shot on James. He makes plays on both sides of the ball, and you know he would be more in the conversation, I think. But he's so unassuming; he just doesn't ever tout, you know, toot his own horn. He's not touting anything he's doing. I tell you what, you got to give him some love. And I, again, I don't know if Westbrook averages a triple double, that he just doesn't get it, because that is, I never thought, you know, when the Magic's and those type 6'8", 6'9", unbelievably versatile type guys, Birdie, LeBron, when they couldn't do it, I never thought a 6'4 guard would do it.
Coach, what do you make of the parity in the NBA going on right now? I mean, Golden State dropped one last night to Boston. The Cavs are on a two-game losing streak. You know, the Rockets are struggling here a little bit. I mean, do you like seeing this where it looks like everybody kind of has a chance to beat up on everybody else?
Well, everybody has a chance to beat up on everybody else right now. I think things will change once the playoffs start. I just think, you know, honestly, I'll tell you what, Cleveland's not playing well. Golden State's been funky since Kevin Durant, you know, hurt his knee. Cleveland's trying to, they're going to bring back Love. They're trying to incorporate JR. They were trying to incorporate Bogey, but that lasted 2 minutes, but they're trying to incorporate Derek Williams when Love left. He's getting acclimated. Darren Williams. So they have a lot of changes. They're not playing well. I'm watching them. They are not playing well. You can say what you want. Cleveland is not playing well. But I do believe Love comes back. I think J.R. Smith gets back in, you know, just gets in his rhythm. Darren Williams finds out, you know, how he's going to be able to help that team. They're still going to be a tough team to beat. I don't believe, though, that if Durant doesn't come back and play for Golden State, I don't think there's any way that they come out of the West. I really don't. I think that Houston could get them. I think San Antonio could get them. I just think they've lost a lot of depth, with getting KD. But so I agree with you. I wouldn't say there's a lot of parity in the league, which I do like, but the top teams just aren't playing well right now. But that will change, you know, when the playoffs start. I think the top teams are going to find their rhythm, and you're going to see, San Antonio could walk down Golden State right now with Golden State's kind of funky and get that number one seed, which is amazing. And you can tell the number one seed means very little to Popovich. Hell, he rested his guys last night, and they come back from 30 points down, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, and you've seen that before, and I've mentioned it on the show, the fact that Popovich just doesn't care about division titles. He just wants to be healthy and get the right matchups in the playoffs, simply because if for no other reason, he got burned in that 4-5 matchup a few years ago, and he doesn't want to sit there and say, hey, I got the glory of getting a division title, but I also got a matchup in the first round that didn't suit me, and we got bounced, and they're all about winning championships there, so he knows exactly what he's doing.
Yeah, no question. And I of all the teams we talked about, the contending top teams, I'd say they're playing, you know, as well as anybody. You know, in the Eastern Conference, the Celtics lost some games, but if they go out, I can't remember who they finished their trip with. They finished their trip with someone, Denver. They finished their trip with Denver, a 5-game West Coast trip. They go 3-2 on that trip. That's a good trip. I mean, going out west, playing the tough teams, you're gonna lose a few games. But Washington's been playing well in the Eastern Conference. I think they're a team. Don't sleep on them. They've been playing much better. But once the playoffs start, it's going to be fun. You're going to see some fun matchups, and everybody better be playing well. I always have said that you start winning that championship, in March and April. I mean, you really start playing great basketball. You get in the playoffs on a hot streak. You're playing well. You got your lineup. You got health. You got your rotations. You know who you're going to play when you play big. You know who you're going to play when you play small. You know who you got to play when you need to change the tempo to go from faster to slower or slower to faster. And you have all the answers on your roster. You're excited to go.
Coach, you say good things happen to good people in this world. With that being said, how ecstatic were you to see Matt Barnes sign with the Warriors?
Fantastic. I mean, just how about he gets a ring? KD comes back, he gets a ring. Matt Barnes is just, okay. Good things happen to good people. There you go.
See, I know you're going to play that one off, but you know that I've not been shy about saying he's my least favorite player in the entire league. But I know that I mentioned having been courtside right by you guys during that Clippers series. There's a guy that just doesn't care. He was in your huddle several times. I mean, he's annoying as annoying gets, and yet he gets an opportunity like that.
Yeah, no, I hear you. That's one of those things that, but they don't do it anymore. But even in our series, I thought for sure at some point it was going to get nasty. You know, just a lot of stuff had happened between Barnes and, James's family and everything else. And so I thought it was going to get crazy. But, everybody just kind of leaves him alone. Evidently, when he beat up Derek Fisher, everybody said, we're going to leave him alone. I think he and Derek got into it. And so I don't know. He's one of those guys that I got to believe that KD's not coming back. I think that's why they're kind of looking for help. I just when you have a bone bruise in your knee and they're saying he's being reevaluated, I saw him last night. Did his press conference? And
with
the
crutches,
he has the entire brace on.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And his crutches, you're like, oh, man, I don't know if he's coming back. And, again, they lost so much depth to sign him. I don't care who they sign from this point on. They're not going to I don't think they can win the West. But you know, it's interesting. Darren Williams decides to go to. He can go anywhere. You know, Darren Williams decides to go to Cleveland. Bogut goes to Cleveland. I thought. I don't know because I honestly haven't looked at Golden State's salary thing. But I didn't see any of the release guys talking about Golden State. You know, but Barnes did. But I didn't see any of the bigger names. Did you?
No, Well, but the thing is, Coach, and again, I don't know how much you want to get into this, but I've heard it from several people that I know. Darren Williams has a really bad reputation in the locker room.
Yes.
And so for me, it was like, well, he better understand what he's getting into and better understand whatever he's been pulling in the past ain't going to fly in that locker room.
Oh, you're right. Look, I wouldn't. You know what? There's some groups that you go to that you just say the force of the personalities on their team and the force of their team. The team has a collective, whatever you want to call it, grit, a collective toughness, a collective whatever. Like Cleveland, I don't care what kind of person Darren Williams is. He's not going to affect those guys. They're tied in. They're defending champs. They got something big they're trying to accomplish. So I don't see that that he could bother them. And I don't really see him being able to bother Golden State and that kind of chemistry they have there. Golden State, just like I said, is just funky. When Steph Curry is not making those crazy shots that he makes, which are phenomenal, fun to watch, but he starts missing those shots, and then you saw it in games, 5, 6, and 7 last year in the finals. Things change on that team when he's not making those shots.
All right, Coach, before we let you go, we got a question from a listener via the text line. They want to know, do you plan on coaching in the NBA again?
No.
Really?
Yeah, no. No,
wow.
I would never say never, but it would have to be such a situation where the veteran team, close to winning, guys that are really committed to winning, guys that don't have individual agendas and all the crap you go through. And
a job for Joel.
It just isn't, when you're fighting to try to get the guys to just compete on a nightly basis, it gets frustrating. But the guys you really enjoy, like there are guys in our league that you would love to coach. I mean, they just play. They don't. There's no drama. They're not worried about everything else. They just go out and play basketball. So if you had a team full of those guys, that would be fun.
So a job for Joel was on that list as well as you. And I can't say your pet name for the media. But my partner here has been indoctrinated to the fact that he is now officially a part of the media. But I've mentioned on several occasions that your least favorite time is talking to the media.
When you're a coach, like talking to you guys now when I do the TNT stuff, that's all fun. When you're a coach, you're so guarded. What are you going to say? Yeah, we're going to trap game 5. What are you going to do differently? Yeah, we're going to trap KD every time. And every time he touches it, so he gets to know what you're doing, So you're out with the media, you just never really say anything. It's just a big kind of shell game. And I didn't enjoy that part of it because you really couldn't even be, there's no way you could even think about being honest and telling the media what you're going to do. You just don't want to give away your game plans. And so most of that stuff you guys hear from the coaches, that's why it sounds so panned and so repetitive. Everybody just says the same thing. It's like on Bull Durham when he's on
happy to help the team. Good Lord willing, everything works out in the end.
Exactly. And you know what? It's just like when he's trying to help meet on the team bus, baby. That's all you get.
We appreciate you spending some time with us, Coach. And by the way, the guy that took credit for giving you pointers the first time you were dealing with the media with me, and then the next day on the show said that's why you won. He's now on our station, so at some point I'll have to make that happen. There's a reunited and it feels so good moment that has to happen between you and Fred Davis.
Oh, me, Fred and I. Okay, well, all right. Well, let me know when we're going to have that reunited feels so good meeting, okay?
All right, you, Peaches and Herb, go tee it up and hit your stand. Play 18. We appreciate you joining us.
I know what you guys are going to do. You're going to talk Houston football now, aren't you?
Tell us where Romo's going?
Well, you know what? Hey, the big rumor was he was just going to travel, down the road and come right to Houston. What do you think about that?
Believe me, there's plenty of people that have a lot to think about that. So yeah, we're about to get into that. So thanks for setting it up for us.
All right, guys. You guys take care.
Hit them straight, Coach.
Kevin McHale's been our guest, as he normally is, at least once a week, sometimes more, but he's a great dude, and we appreciate him chiming in. A little bit of a nugget or two there from Coach McHale that if you missed, you might want to catch the podcast. We'll head out for a quick couple of minutes to catch our breath, and then we'll come back and start talking NFL free agency. JJ wants to talk about baby puke and much more. ESPN 97.5. That tonight's going to be a good night.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4, almost 1 in the books, and plenty more on the docket. We got to get to the NFL news of the day. There's plenty, and it continues to roll in, so we're going to get to that pretty quickly. First, we want to get to the one-armed bandit. JJ is somewhere in the city of Houston, Texas, driving around. He wants to chime in. He's been holding a long time. We appreciate it. JJ, what's up?
Hey, guys. This is why I love this show. When you first came on, Barry was trying to figure out what he was mad about. Then we started talking about baby puke versus cat diarrhea, right?
Yeah.
Then we moved into belly bumping, then getting your butt smacked by a paddle. So I initially was calling in because I have twin girls and I went through the baby puke and diarrhea, and I have two cats currently that are my wife's that have the diarrhea. I can say hands down, having twins was quite the experience, but because babies puke and blow out their diapers, there's no comparison. So, Joel, I'm going to give you the head. Wow. I'm going to give you that because been through it all. I agree both are bad, but nothing tops a baby vomit. Ugh. Then we were going from the belly bumping, which I do remember that. And Barry was able to, as usual, get a porn segue in there and asked if he saw that on Pornhub. And then we went to getting your butts hit by paddle. So this right here is why this show is so entertaining. I've said it before on here. You guys can talk about anything and keep us entertained. And sports talk, everybody does it, but you guys have this unique ability that is just unbelievable.
Well, it's all because of Nick.
I can't say how much I love the show.
It's all Nick's fault. But we appreciate it, JJ. And you know what? I'm going to let the stuff on Twitter today slide because it's Salisbury's birthday. But otherwise, this love should be shown on Twitter and social media as well. All right, JJ, we appreciate you checking in. That was a quick segment because now, Barry, before we get to break, we got to talk about this.
I have a question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to know this. Now, I know it took us a long time to get here, but so Texans are losing Dimps to the Bears.
Yep.
And they're losing A.J. Bouye to the Jags.
Mm-hmm.
What's the bigger loss?
To me, personally, yeah. I think for the value, I really like Q Dimps. He had a big year. I think Bouye at the right price, but you still have three really good corners, assuming Johnson comes back healthy. J.Jo's a little long in the tooth, but still held his own. And Kareem, I just think off the top of my head, without really, really getting, I think losing Q Dimps because he was a more affordable guy, and I thought he really played well last year.
Okay. Nick, you?
I'm going to go with Bouye. I just thought he was more of an impact this year. Q Dimps obviously had a really good year, too, but I just thought, if we're really in the win now situation, Bouye is the guy that we need right now.
Yeah, see, and that's the thing. I think it was Richard on Twitter that was asking about the loss of Dimps. Did the Texans even try to negotiate with him? And I'm sure, I mean, they sat down and talked to everybody. There's no doubt about that. But I think when it comes to Dimps, my guess is he's 32, so they were either trying to get younger and cheaper or better. Right. And so not that Dimps was, I mean, he led the team in interceptions, if I'm not mistaken, with six last year.
Yep.
So he played out of his mind compared to how he had played in the past. And Joel, you made a point in pre-show talks where he's probably looking to go and get more stability in the contract. Yeah, he doesn't want to go year to year. And I think he had a 2-year deal, but he's looking for a little more stability. Now he's got 3 years. He doesn't have to worry as much. But I have a feeling that with the Texans, it's one of those things where we've talked about it before. They're probably in the mindset similar to the Patriots where, you know what, we're looking for value. And Dimps had value at $1.5 million.
Right.
But when you start paying him what he's playing at, it becomes less value for a 32-year-old safety who has never performed as well as he did except for last year.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling in the case of Demps, it was either get younger and cheaper or just get better. Bouye is a big loss to me. There's no way around that. They are getting long in the tooth at the cornerback position. Johnson is unproven. Bouye, you know, to me was the big loss for them. But thank God they signed their kickers.
Your MVP.
Yeah, that is
Nick
true.
Novak.
Yeah, no doubt.
Is back.
No doubt.
And you know what? A lot more on that because I do want to. Sure, I think we want to get into a lot of that. But here's the one thing I'll say for Houston fans. Don't be a Richard, okay? Just because these guys are leaving town, I've seen a ton of people already start bashing them and they weren't that good anywhere. It was 1 year. You know what? They played well enough for you that they were on the radar at the top of the list of guys that were either you were either going to lose or you had to have back. So just tip of the cap. These were guys that, you know, especially in the case of Bouye, that was an undrafted free agent, never gotten paid before. He was going to take the money. But guess what? He played well for you last year when you needed him to. So don't be that way after the fact. Just move on. So we'll get back to that. We'll get a whole lot more. One of the books, two to go, plenty more show right here, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.